The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
Support for this show comes from the Divine Intelligence Institute, committed to awakening the God within. Make God a presence inside that you can activate rather than a person up in the sky that you worship. Find out your spiritual IQ at DivineIntelligenceInstitute.com.
From Spirituality and Health magazine, this is Essential Conversations. Before I introduce my guest, I want to invite you to join me in Nashville, Tennessee, March 24th through the 26th, for 3 days of wisdom, music, love, and resistance as we celebrate the publication of the World Wisdom Bible and initiate a global spiritual movement rooted in the interdependence of all life and the ethic of compassion and justice that interdependence demands. To learn more, please visit OneRiverFoundation.org. Our guest today is Mark Sorensen. He's the creator of the Star School for Navajo Children near Flagstaff, Arizona. Mark's essay, Peacemaking the Navajo Way, appears in the January-February issue of Spirituality and Health magazine. Mark Sorensen, welcome to Essential Conversations.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Really happy to have you here. The article was fascinating. And I went online, I looked at you've got this wonderful, it's starschool.org, this wonderful, oh, I don't know what you call it, sort of an aerial view of the school where you really get a chance to look at its setting. It's, the school is environmentally advanced. It's all run off the grid. It's all by solar power. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. Which I guess you have a lot of out in the, looks like the high desert of Arizona there.
Yes, it's the high desert.
So in the magazine article, you really lay out very clearly the 7 steps of the peacemaking process that is indigenous to the Navajo. And I don't want to have you repeat what you've already written. I hope people will take a look at the article itself. Instead, I want to focus on the school, which was just, to me, fascinating. So it's called the Star School. Star, S-T-A-R, is an acronym. Why don't you start with unpacking the acronym for us?
All right. So STAR stands for Service to All Relations. This is a native concept. It happens often when we come out of the sweat lodge. And when we throw the flap open and come out of the sweat lodge, we say, all my relations. And the service to all relations was the theme upon which we wanted to build the entire philosophy of the school. It's our feeling that deep in the heart of Navajo culture is the idea that we are all connected, not just all human beings, but all everything in nature. And being of service is a privilege, not a burden. So, you know, sometimes what happens with communities in poverty situations is a sense of helplessness and a sense that somebody needs to come in and provide us with our resources. And we see that we live in this beautiful area and we're graced with a beautiful culture. being of service means to help our community, help our families, help one another. And in so doing, we gain sovereignty. So I've developed this idea called sovereignty through service. And the idea is that if we are of service to our community, then we develop a moral authority that allows us to say things. It doesn't give us any legal standing, but it gives us moral standing.
You know, you talk about that in the peacemaking process where you really are dealing with, you're trying to avoid having to go through the legal framework and really try to work on this relational notion of building the connection with all relations. I just want to ask you a question, which may be so off the wall that you just want to pass on it, but it struck me that this notion that of all relations, and not just human, but you know, all all of nature. It has a parallel in the Hebrew Bible in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where Abraham and Sarah are called, and their descendants are called to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. And it doesn't specify two-legged families. It's all the family. So it's, you know, two-legged, four-legged, winged, you know, all of that. And I'm just wondering if you guys have a sense that this is something, this notion of relationship with all life, is something common to tribal peoples.
Absolutely. It's and of course, all of us originally came from one tribe or another, right? All of us have these roots as indigenous people. But the indigenous people of this continent, what we commonly call Native Americans, virtually every tribe of the 500 tribes in this country has some version of this idea that we are not only connected, but we have a sense of responsibility. There are some tribes that, many tribes, I would say, for whom prayer is understood that when you get up, for example, in Navajo and offer a morning prayer, it's a prayer for all creatures and all people. And it's just understood that this is the way this works. It's part of our heritage as human beings.
One of my teachers was Sister Jose Habde. She was a Lakota medicine woman and Franciscan sister, I think. And she used to say that you can't understand the Bible if you don't understand the whole notion of tribe. And it's that the morality of the Hebrew Bible, and there's a lot of issues around morality in the Bible, but the stuff that she liked and the stuff that I liked, she linked directly to tribe. So I was curious about that. And then it seems to have a connection to a practice you do in the school where, if I have this right, you start each school week with the students assembled and they greet each other with the Navajo greeting, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce it, Ya'ate. Ya'ate, something like that.
Yes, Ya'ate.
Ya'ate, sorry. Uh-huh. That's much. Thank you for correcting that. And your translation of it.
You're close.
but no cigar. So Ya'ate, and it means, in English, you said, the universe exists. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, just taking that as a philosophical concept, that's your greeting. The universe exists. What do you make of that? As someone who comes, well, I mean, you're not born into this culture, so you're coming into it. You see things like this. I'm obviously looking at it from the outside. I see something incredibly wondrous and deep, and that's my greeting to you is, you know, the universe exists. So how are we to understand that?
Well, it's understanding the depth of that greeting has come to me over years. You know, I certainly, when I first was introduced to the greeting Ya'ate, I didn't truly get the depth of it. It's been something that has been taught to me over the years, and I'm incredibly grateful for the depth of that understanding that I've gotten from some elders, because it sort of reminds me of Namaste, or some of the greetings from the really deep esoteric or mystical teachings. The idea that that we exist, that we have the gift of life, that just amazes me these days, particularly that we have this wonderful, amazing gift, and it's, in my view, it's not that we did something to deserve it. We've just been given this. And here we are on this beautiful planet, and we get to experience the beauty of the planet. So in a greeting like this, Ya'ate, the universe exists, it's we are within it, and it is within us. That's the idea.
Yeah, and that's why you're connecting it to Namaste. technically, namaste means I bow to the divine within you. When I'm in India teaching, I make a point of trying to get people to shift their understanding from the God within you to the God, to the divine that is you. So it's a little bit less dualistic.
Yeah, in Navajo, the deeper concept is we are all divine beings. In Navajo, where people understand they're descended from the holy people, and to just be able to view one another as divine beings is, I think, opens up opportunities for great understanding and empathy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's key. So now I have a practical, maybe those weren't so impractical, but so part of the mission of the school, as I understand it, is to help reclaim Navajo culture and to teach it to the students. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair thing to say? Is that, am I on?
That's certainly part of it.
Yeah, part of it.
That's part of our mission.
So I'm wondering, how interested are the kids in the tradition, as opposed to I don't care about this. This is old. This is grandfather. This is grandmother. I'm interested in what's happening on Snapchat.
Well, Rami, I'm really glad you asked that question, because it's my clear understanding that the kids don't really care what we say about the culture. They want to see how we live it. And if we live the values, if we really believe that relationships are key, that that we are all connected, they've got to see the adults around the school act that way toward one another. And teaching kids about their culture is no way to go, because our kids, frankly, are too entranced with modern technology. But if they see that we come to them and treat them as a dear relative, when I come up to a student, if I say, "She away, my child, my baby," or if I say to somebody that you're my son or my daughter, you know, and think of that as the most positive example I can imagine of what a relationship with a son or a daughter would be, then, you know, if they see me act that way and they see the other adults act that way toward one another, then they feel safe, they feel cared for, and they want to know. They want to know more about the beauty that comes out of this culture. So that, I'd say, it's key for them to see us actually live those values.
So you've been sort of adopted into the Navajo people. What are most of the faculty at the school?
2/3 of our staff are Navajo, and about half of our teachers are Navajo. And again, you know, this is the challenge, isn't it? For a school to exist that's blended like this, for there to be real love and acceptance in spite of all the discrimination that goes on, primarily from white people to Native people. But, you know how it is. If people have been experiencing a lot of prejudice, then it's easy for them to feel prejudice as well. So
sure.
To have an atmosphere in which it can be acknowledged that there are these racial tensions sometimes, and to believe that we can still see the universe within one another, that we can still look through that and to see the real core value each of us has, then that's when we're really great.
Mm. So the half of the staff, the 50% of the staff that is not Navajo, are they, as you are, steeped in the culture? Do they have, is there a long learning curve before people can say that they've imbibed it enough that they can model it?
Well, yes, it can be a very long learning curve. you know, some of our staff are just intent on learning more and more and more. And others are there because they just love the atmosphere and they love the kids and they value and honor the culture, knowing all the while that they'll never quite get the whole thing. So I guess I would say that it's an individual choice. For me, I was, as I said in my article, I was overwhelmed to get the understanding that I could be brought in like this and be integrated into a family like that.
Yeah, I mean, that is an amazing thing. We've only got a couple of minutes left, maybe 3 or 4 minutes left. And I want to switch gears a little bit because I think we would be remiss if we just talked about the Star School in a bubble. I mean, you're in Arizona. Arizona, you are a charter school, charter public mm-hmm. school. Arizona is a big charter school state. Mm-hmm. I know that in Arizona, Eileen Sigmund, who's the CEO and president of Arizona Charter School Association, mm-hmm. is very pro our new education secretary, Betsy mm-hmm. DeVos. What are your thoughts about that? Are you looking forward to having her with her strong pro-charter school background?
You know, we see charter schools as a vehicle. We don't see it necessarily as an ideology. So when I see the new education secretary and her support for choice, you know, for us in Native communities, choice has been very limited. It's been extremely limited over the years. But, you know, on the other hand, we rely heavily on the government and the federal government and state government to provide services. And many times we feel those services are lacking. So it's a two-edged sword, as I see it. Somebody who wants to support choice, like the choice our kids make, feels great to me. On the other hand, someone who wants to diminish the services that are so important to us makes me quite uncomfortable.
Okay, so it's a wait and see. Ways. Yeah, see what's going to happen. Like I said, we're really up against the end of the show, but I want to ask you a more general question about what you've learned from working with the Navajo people in the Star School, and see if there's something that you think could apply to the larger U.S. schools, public school system. And I'm thinking specifically about this Navajo sense of interrelatedness and kinship. The word, you write it in the, you know, in the, you pronounce it for us because it has that lovely glottal stop that I can't do. But go ahead, pronounce, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, it's k-eh.
K-eh. K-eh. So if you can, does that have application outside the school into the United States in general?
I believe it certainly does, Rami. The idea is of k-eh is that we are interrelated, that we have kinship and close ties with one another. And to me, what's really missing in our educational system in general is the primacy of positive, caring relationships. I think, you know, I've been an educator my whole adult life, now more than 40 years in the school systems in Indian country. And I would say that so many schools are focused and fearfully focused on test scores and the kids repeatedly not doing well enough. And so then everybody feels a failure and that kind of thing. What I think the school systems in general need to get more focused on is the strength and value of relationships, because that's what's going to serve them as they move out into the world. I continually remind other people that when you go past K-12 education or even college education, nobody in the working world asks you to take a multiple choice test. It's, you know, what they want is to see how you problem solve and how you work with other people and how much of a team player you are. Those are the things that we teach that I think could be taught so much more and focused on so much more in the general public education system.
Well, that is a perfect way to end. I very much appreciate that. My guest today was educator Mark Sorensen. His essay, Peacekeeping the Navajo Way, appears in the January-February issue of Spirituality and Health magazine. You can learn more about the START School at startschool.org. Mark, thanks so much for speaking with us on Essential Conversations.
Thank you very much, Ronnie. I really appreciate it.
Support for today's show comes from the Divine Intelligence Institute, committed to awakening the God within each of us. Rather than a person up in the sky, make God a presence inside of you that you can activate. Discover your spiritual IQ at divineintelligenceinstitute.com. Essential Conversations with Rabbi Rami is a project of Spirituality and Health magazine. Please log in to spiritualityhealth.com to subscribe to the magazine in print or digital formats and download the iTunes app for this podcast. Essential Conversations is produced by Ezra Baker, and our program coordinator and executive producer is Alma Tassi. I'm Rabbi Rami. Thanks for listening.